You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church. Hey, this is Malia, your host as usual, and today I'm joined by Pastor David.
Yes.
My usual co-host. Man, people are probably so sick of hearing that. But we're back with a bonus episode for the end of the year. And we are doing our year in review that we've been doing every year for I don't know how many years now, where we share like some of our favorite resources and just some favorite highlights from the year. And really, we just do that to kind of in hopes that the resources we share are helpful to the church and just helpful in general to people's growth and sanctification. So why don't we just jump right into it?
Oh, let's just jump right in.
Let's do it.
People are waiting.
Yeah, so excited. And then, as usual, I will try to link resources in the show notes. So if you guys want to check those out, you can. We need like an Amazon storefront or something so that if people like link them, we can like... we used to get like the Amazon Smiles benefit where when people shopped Amazon through our link, we would get like a fraction of that sale would come to us.
Oh, they don't do that anymore?
You know, they went away with that. So that's kind of a bummer. So anywho, let's start with like what we read this year. Why are you laughing at me? So, like, what were your favorite books this year? Like, top 1 to 3 books that you read this year? I know you read some books this year.
Yeah, the Bible. Well, number one.
Obviously, like, that's a given.
I know. I just had to say it because that was always the thing when I had 2 jobs and we would do this. And you guys would just list all this stuff. I'm like, who has time to read? Like, the Bible. That's what I read. So, my top book... this year would definitely be, it's called The Awe of God. It's by John Bevere. I think that's how you pronounce his name. What drew me to it was because, one, the title did, but I kind of felt God was telling me to read it because I never looked it up. I never looked him up, but it was constantly coming up as an advertisement on my Facebook. Constantly. So I finally was, okay, I'll read it. But it's all about the fear of God, understanding what it means to fear God, what it looks like. It was very much a slap in the face in a good way because he really was hard hitting on his own journey and just the disrespect towards God that we can have.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a I remember entering into it thinking, man, this guy wrote an entire book on the fear of God. And that's another thing that intrigued me by it. It's like, how much does he have to say?
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, so it was extremely, he did. And it was, and he used a lot of real life examples that was great to, again, it wasn't this like overwhelming theological, you know, it was really practical to life. And so that would be my top one because, honestly, everybody, we're not going to grow in our relationship with Jesus unless you have a healthy fear of God. And I think most of us struggle with that. So, that was a great book.
I think people just don't understand what that means.
Well, it's so counter. It's a counterintuitive to the. What do you mean? I'm supposed to fear God?
Right.
And so people run from that. And
absolutely. Is it a long book?
No. I mean, it's an average. I mean, a couple hundred pages.
Okay.
I mean, it's not. You know.
I'll have to put that on my to read.
I liked it. I really liked it. And I know who he was. I don't know a lot about him. I know he wrote another book years ago that I read called The Devil's Door. Mm-hmm. So I knew I appreciated his writing because I still remember that book and what it, you know, the impact it had. So that's why when I saw his name, I was like, well, I know him. So I'll read that. And it's just a really, really good book. So that would be my top one. My other one is a book that I don't read books like these. I'm not one to read a lot of biographies. I like watching biographies, but I'm not one to read them.
Sure, yeah.
But I read a book called 50 People Every Christian Should Know.
Oh.
I've read most of it. I should clarify. I haven't done it all yet. Because it's one of those I kind of go to. You read it, and then you come back. But it's by Warren Wiersbe. And the reason it was so impressive to me is because when I went to read it, my thought was, of course, these are going to be people like John Wesley or, you know, Martin Luther or like these big name, you know, Billy Graham even. I don't know. I'm thinking these are the 50. The very first chapter was Martin Luther's wife. And I remember sitting there going like, this is interesting. Because, I mean, I expected the names like you would know.
Yeah.
And so it was more these people that I'm like, I never would have considered these, you know. And it was just really, it's just really good. I mean, each chapter, they're not overwhelming. It was, you know, highlights. And but it's I think it's important to do that again because it helps understand people. So again, reading about Martin Luther's wife made Martin Luther more interesting to me. To find out like this is a guy that, as an example, like dealt with deep depression.
Yeah,
and then how his wife dealt with him and. It was just, you know, it makes it, I think sometimes we can read about Christians and we put ourselves like, well, that's not me.
Yeah.
I'm not this great. Right? But then you're reading about this wife, right? That had this powerful influence on our lives today, which we don't even realize, you know? And so I would just, it was a good book. It was just a,
interesting. It's, those kinds of things are really nice because you... It's a good reminder that they're human and that they weren't perfect, even though we tend to put some of these people up on pedestals.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, they dealt with real life things, with depression and, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff. Oh, yeah. And so,
Yeah. And they were flawed and marred and they weren't. Absolutely. You know, so that was good. Mm-hmm. The other one I would put on my top three, because it just really impacted me, was, for the first time, I read The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. Mm-hmm. I've talked about it before. Mm-hmm. Never read it before. I knew her story, but this is the first time I actually went through the book. And it was just amazing. In fact, it was a book that this year I had been saving up for a while, and I went and I'll put it out there, but went and got, you know, a tattoo I've been waiting to get for a long time. I only bring that up hesitantly because sometimes I get looks, but anyways, that's what I love about, you know, the stuff that we read, because as I was reading that book, I was sitting there having this done with the lady that was doing the tattoo, and I look over and she has a book about, it was called the Auschwitz Tattooist.
Oh yeah.
And that's, I pointed it out. See, I've never, and I pointed it out. I'm like, hey, that's, what's that about? And then I was like, hey, I just read a book about a woman in, you know, the Holocaust. And she's like, really, what was it about? Mm-hmm. And we were talking about it, and I actually went and bought her a copy of it. And that was my last session with her. I took it in. I was like, here's a gift for you. Mm-hmm. And I just remember praying, like, you know, this is an amazing book of faith in the most horrific experience a human being could go through. And I just remember being like, Lord, I hope she reads it, man. If you can
do something
with it, but again, another biography. Usually don't read them, and it was just a powerful.
Yeah.
Again, there was many times where I was like, "Man, don't complain in life, David. Like, you have nothing to complain about."
I know.
And just to hear their faith, and it's just a great book if you've never read it.
Yeah.
So
now that one's on my to read list also.
Great book.
Yeah.
So
that's good. So I would say my top book is a very practical one, and it's short, you guys. It's called Praying the Bible. It's by Donald S. Whitney. And he just basically lays out practical ways that you can actually, like, enliven your prayer life by simply praying through the Bible. He, for the most part, he kind of hangs out in the Psalms and shows you, like, hey, here's how you do it. He gives you a plan, which I like those things because I am very black and white, for, like, how to make that happen with, like, what days and what Psalms you read. But it is so easy and so simple, and it has really just breathed new life into my personal prayer life, because I don't know if you're like me, but I definitely will, like, be praying, and then all of a sudden my mind is on my to-do list, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to be praying, and then I'm back to praying, and then, like, 2 seconds later, you know, I'm thinking about something else, and it like, my mind, I just, like, can't turn it off.
Yeah.
And so when you have scripture in front of you and you're reading through it and praying through it, like, it's so much better to, like, focus and keeps your attention. And so that has been really, really good for me. And so I would definitely recommend this. The second book I want to share is Upon Waking by Jackie Hill Perry. And this is actually a devotional, which I'm not always a huge fan of devotionals because they tend to lack a lot of depth. in my opinion. Other than Paul David Tripp, his devotionals are amazing. But this was so good. If you love Jackie Hill Perry, like, she just has a way with words that I don't even know. It's just amazing to me. So this is a really, really good devotional. It's 60 days. I've got so many pages dog-eared in here, like so many underlines, just good, solid stuff. And I really love, because she starts the devotional out with basically talking about how, like, she doesn't like devotionals. And so, like, she wants people to, you know, like, to be real clear that this is just the appetizer.
Okay.
And to be getting into the word. And so I really love that. And then my other one would be, I finally read Heaven by Randy Alcorn.
Oh, that's a thick
but I,
one.
I actually did that via audiobook.
Okay.
I did a lot more audiobooks this year, and I kind of love them now. Just because it's like your mind can't wander as much, and they just help focus you a little bit more, and you can also do something at the same time. And I love to multitask. So I did that, and then I also read Heaven for Kids with Tyler. And so just both of those together was really great for my brain, because Heaven for Kids really, like, brought things down to my level too. But then the regular version kind of gave the depth that you needed there. But those are, they are excellent. And I cannot tell you how many conversations we've had about Heaven with Tyler even since then. And, like, his imagination has just run wild. And I really, really hope that at this point, like, he doesn't think it's going to be boring. And, like, we've crushed all of the, you know, just common misconceptions about what Heaven will be like. And so, like, I hope that he's excited about it. I feel like we've been talking about it enough that it's kind of done that job. So we'll see.
I have not read that book. I have it. But that's another one of those books that I'm intrigued to read it someday, because it's thick. I mean, it's not massive, but I mean,
it's a big book.
And I've always thought to myself, like, man, how does that guy have that much to say about Heaven?
Yeah.
I mean, there should be a lot to say, but there's a not a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, in scripture, there's not a ton.
Right.
So it's an interesting concept.
And he uses
scripture.
And yeah, it's just like, I kind of, when I was listening to it, I kind of wish that I had a physical copy too, because there were definitely places I wanted to, like, underline and, like, go back to. But definitely recommend that. It's worth the time investment for sure. And the one for kids, the kids version, if you don't have time for the big one, like, don't be too proud to read that one, because it's still really, really good. So yeah.
Awesome.
What about podcasts this year? Do you, I know, like, you're not a huge podcast person, and that's totally fine.
I'm not, I don't have ones that I listen to faithfully. Like, every once in a while, if I'm in the car, I listen. I like to listen to, it's called Gospel in Life, but it's Tim Keller. So it's usually a lot of sermons. It's not podcasts of sitting down and, you know, them talking. Like, I like listening to Renewing Your Mind. It's R.C. Sproul. So mine are more sermon based, and it's not usually honestly, I don't do podcasts a lot. I do a lot of YouTube when it comes to listening things, but they're usually sermons.
Okay. Is that what you're listening to when you come in a lot?
Usually.
To the building?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Because I usually hear you listening to something.
Or it's just some stupid videos that are on Facebook.
Well, you're not supposed to tell me that, because
I'll confess it. Those are like black holes, right?
Okay.
The Facebook videos that just, you just keep scrolling, and it's just whatever.
Oh, that's stupid.
No, I was joking with you, and you, so, but the podcast that I listen to, so the one I listen to all the way through, it's a couple seasons, it's called Very Scary People. It's like a crime one, you know.
But
each season takes, like, it's not separate crimes. It really goes in depth with like a certain crime. So, like, the first season, the reason I got sucked into it, because it was the Amityville Horror murders.
Yeah.
But it wasn't about the, like, the movies and the whole spiel. Like, it was the story of the real crime that happened, and and the you know, and
Scott
the backstory and all of that stuff. So that's a podcast I listen to. But it's something I like to, you know,
it's a lot of true.
It's in the car, right? It's I'll put it on and listen to stuff like that, and it's, you know.
Yeah.
So
I love true crime stuff
too. Yeah. So
so interesting.
Anyways.
I say this every single year, but Knowing Faith is still my number one favorite podcast. Like, it's just like three friends talking theology. they don't always agree with each other. But it's like, I don't know. Like, I feel like that's how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can do that. We mm-hmm. can talk about the deep things of God and not always agree, but still have a good conversation mm-hmm. around it. And so that's still my number one. I can't remember if I shared this last year or not, but the Family Discipleship Podcast is kind of under mm-hmm. the same umbrella. But that is phenomenal. Like, I originally listened to it because I thought, hey, this is probably going to be a good resource to share with the church for, mm-hmm. you know, young families here. And I have not missed an episode. Like, I cannot tell you, like, even though my kids are older and I was thinking it probably wouldn't have a lot of great stuff for me, like, just the heart of what they're saying, I think is good for anybody, even if you don't have kids. I mean, we all are spiritual mothers and fathers when it comes to the church too. And so, it is really, really great. They just did like a season on vices and virtues that I really enjoyed, where they just talked about different things like, discontentment and hypocrisy and how those play out in our lives as parents, but I think also as Christians as well. And too. And so, it's just phenomenal, phenomenal podcast. And then I think I've maybe shared this one before, but Culture Matters is another really great one. Where it's kind of like the intersection of Christianity and like the kind of hot topics of the world and things that are going on. And that's always kind of a fun one because like they'll talk about like popular movies that are in mainstream and or like a certain debate that's happening, you know, or whatever. But that kind of stuff is always fun for me to listen to. And so that's been a good one. And then kind of a bonus one that's not a Christian podcast, so I will preface this, but it was super interesting and it sucked me in, was Scamanda. Have you heard of that?
No.
So it's about this chick who pretended to have cancer.
Okay.
And then received all this financial help uh-huh. from people, and she blogged about it and was like kind of like famous on the internet for like her situation and how it like all came crashing down because people were like, this seems fishy, and noticed some discrepancies and some weird things. And like, she is like in prison now.
Okay.
And so it, like I said, it's not Christian, but there's kind of a faith-based like part of it because she was part of this really big mega church where she lived and how like they did campaigns for her and stuff. So it's just like a really crazy, wild story. But it's kind of fun, like guilty pleasure kind of thing.
Yeah, that's kind of my scary, very scary people.
Yeah.
Like that, you know.
Yeah. So see, we all got those, you know. Yeah. It's okay to live in the world as long as we're not.
That's right? What I'm saying. It just those are those things that make you it's the reminder. It's a very messed up world.
Yeah.
So
I know you do a ton of Bible study because you are preaching every Sunday. Do you do any Bible study outside of what you're doing to prep for Sundays or?
Yes and no. I mean, so like right now, it kind of falls in line with preparing for sermons. So you have like what I'm doing for the sermon.
Mm-hmm.
So like right now I'm doing a pretty in-depth study through Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
So
spoiler alert,
because I want to preach through Revelation.
Yeah.
But I'm also doing it for my, you know, self. So
mm-hmm.
it's nice when the two can kind of, you know,
for sure.
That's why, again, James is kind of the same way prepping for this is like, mm-hmm. I have the study for that week, but also
mm-hmm.
the other stuff that, you know, just an overview. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at like right now.
Yeah. Do you have any like favorite thing that stood out this year as far as study goes?
Man, see, this is what I love about our year in review, because I literally sat here and I can't think of last week. And so trying to think, I mean, there was probably things from January. I need to probably get a notebook and just write down so I know this is happening. David, what did
keep
you study?
Stuff.
That's what I was saying. Keep track of what you.
Well, guess
you know.
What? Now you have a fancy way to keep track of it.
Yeah.
On your iPad.
Well, it was fun. I do.
Yeah.
It was funny.
New notebook.
When you think about even this last year of sermons, Nate Stahlheim, you know, one of our elders, was looking at like our year in review, and he mm-hmm. he wrote down like all the sermon series we did for the year. And even I looked at it, I was like, really? We did that? Like, not that we did, but you know, I'm not, you forget.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it goes so fast.
You forget.
But it's also like a long time ago.
It was.
Yeah.
Man, I'm the sad part is I am honestly drawing a blank because I'm just so, you get so focused
That's
on.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, all that's going through my mind right now is just how much I'm getting just studying a Revelation right now. Because that's where my mind is.
And you're enjoying it. Do you have a favorite like commentator that you kind of go to?
So I was actually talking to Lowell this morning about, so my number one that I go to, not for the depth of it, but for the simplicity of it, is I love reading, I have the complete works of, through the Bible with, James Vernon McGee.
Okay.
So if anybody doesn't know, he used to have a radio broadcast where he would basically walk through the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
verse,
cool.
But you know, like he'd do the whole thing. But what I love about it is it's not this, he gets deep, but it's not this like, let's pick apart every single aspect of this. It's a very, because it was a radio broadcast.
Right.
So he pulls out a lot of stories and examples and illustrations, and then he'll talk into some depth of, he's my number one go-to for every time I'm studying something, because he's a good, he's like the start. You know what I'm saying? Like he's not the, let's dig in super deep. He's the initial guy for me that's kind of like the introduction.
Yeah.
And he'll kind of set a framework of like, man, I never thought about that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
So he's always go-to.
Yeah.
Because he's just that easy beginning that kind of sets a tone. Mm-hmm. And then I just like all the, I mean, the commentaries I have as far as, you know, like the different book, you know, I don't even know the main one. The other ones I have is I get into the word studies lot. So the resource I use a lot is Blue Letter Bible.
Oh, sure.
That's not a common, I mean, there's stuff you can, but I get into that because I do a lot of, I look at the language because it opens up in the Bible. Like, oh, I didn't notice that or I never. So I've done a lot of that this year.
Those are really interesting.
Picking apart. Yes. That depth of it.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, you got people nerding out with you, so we just aren't as vocal.
Yeah. There's another resource I have that, it's so I'm, I don't share it as like, but it's another nice one is, it's called Enduring Word Commentary, but it's a website online. The other thing I like about that one is, again, this is one where the guy breaks it down. He goes verse section by section, but again, what I like about him is it's not this in-depth, really. He shares a lot of quotes on it. So that's where he'll use a lot of stuff of like Spurgeon and other stuff like that and their thoughts on those verses. I like that stuff because I like the commentaries that present a truth that spark a thought.
Sure.
And then I get to chew on that.
Yeah.
Not somebody's like, I'm going to explain you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's what good. I like.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So those are the ones that I like to go to because they just cause it. Huh. Interesting. That's Let's cool. think about that. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I did a Leviticus study called the Law of Grace, which was like a verse by verse walkthrough of Leviticus, which I know I don't want to lose people here. That sounds like a big yawn fest, but Leviticus is
it's a great book.
And there are so many connections with the New Testament that it is like mind blowing. There's no like video teaching or anything. It's the woman who wrote the study. Her name's Felicia Masonheimer. I think I've shared some stuff of hers before. But she, like, this is her, she's so good at what she does. She just does so much research. And so there's some commentary in the book, but it really just like walks you through and kind of helps like lay the groundwork for you to kind of make some of the connections too, which I always appreciate when people don't like assume that you're stupid and don't know how to study. You know what I mean? Like make me work a little bit. And I kind of like that. And so, for the most part, like it's a really solid study that I would definitely recommend if that's something that interests you. Or if that's like a book that you've always been like, no, like that's so weird. Like it's actually really cool. And then the other one, we did like a family devotional, and I hate to say a devotional because that's not really what it was, called the New City Catechism. And we've tried devotionals over the years and nothing has ever stuck or landed because, I mean, I'm a boy mom. So like they're always like talking about your feelings or like asking questions and like my kids were not trying to hear that. And so I like this because it is just, it walks you through core doctrine and just ask questions like, what does God require in the first, second, and third commandments? And like just walks through basic stuff, gives you the answer, gives you a verse to look up. What is faith in Jesus Christ? What do we believe by true faith? Like things like that. Like what is the difference between justification and sanctification? Mm-hmm. And not only is it good because it's kind of like a drill almost, like it gets these things into your kids' heads, mm-hmm. but also like for me, it was a really good like temperature take of like where Tyler was at, what things he understood, what different things that maybe he still like isn't quite mm-hmm. understanding or grasping. And so like those are areas I know like that's what I'm going to look for this summer when I'm picking a study out for him, is like these are the things we're going to drill down on. But it's just, it was such a simple format. It made it easy to stick with. We didn't have to do it every night, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like some nights we could do a few questions. And then I think overall, the thing that it really did was just create the space for him to ask more questions, you know, to set up that environment for him to be like, okay, well, while we're on the subject, like what about da 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 or X, Y, and Z? And so, man, we had so many good conversations and he asked so many great questions. Because like, if we're not, I think if, listen, I'm not like perfect at doing this at all. Because like I said, it's not like it's a nightly thing that you have to do. But man, if you don't make any space for that, you're never talking about it. And so, I just hope that God blesses that and continues to, grow that curiosity in him. But like, I felt really solid. Like when we finished it last week, I was like, man, he knows a lot more than I gave him credit for. Yeah. And so, so that was encouraging too. Like he's listening and hearing things and stuff. So, so I'll link that too. Moving on to something a little more lighter. Favorite movie of the year. And I have to tell you, my favorite movie was the Barbie movie. Like, I don't feel like I watched a lot of new movies this year, but I think it's just my age because I was like a prime Barbie person when I was growing up. Like I loved him. I had this whole social network happening with my Barbies. Okay. And so like there's so many like inside jokes and little like plays on that whole world. And so I thought it was so funny and such a fun movie.
I'll admit I watched it.
Oh, did you like it?
No.
My favorite is I Am Knuff.
That was
like my favorite.
Here's the thing. I watched it. I will say this. I paid. It was not something I was going to pay money to see. So if it has recently come on streaming on one of our streaming services. Yeah. So I saw it one day on my day off. And
Amy didn't watch it with you?
No.
Oh, man.
I mean, I'll ask her if she wants. She's never that's been too like
funny.
Amy's. She don't watch movies really. We do, but I was like, okay, I'll watch it.
I liked Weird Barbie because every girl had a Weird Barbie.
Yeah, yeah.
But you wouldn't know that.
Here's the problem.
Did you have a Weird G.I. Joe?
No.
Oh, okay.
How do you have a Weird G.I. Joe?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. I have a lot of, there's a lot of buried G.I. Joes at my mom's house. So, no. See, here's the problem with it. Not the movie. I'm not debating the movie.
Yeah.
For me, as I was watching it, I know it was meant to be funny, and it did have some things where like, okay, that's kind of humor. You know, it was humorous.
It had some weird stuff in there.
But there was also, here's the problem with me. My brain gets into the, all right, you're trying to push.
Yes.
So I fell into a lot of like, that annoys me.
Yeah. But you just got to get past that.
I know. And I couldn't. I finished it. I watched the whole thing. Yeah. I didn't walk away from it going, that was horrible.
Right.
But yeah, it was one that's like, okay, I've seen it.
Yeah.
I don't get the hype, but it was, I saw it.
Sure. So what's your favorite?
My favorite. That's what's funny. I have not watched a lot of new stuff either, which is interesting because don't go to the movies much. This year, Oppenheimer was really good.
Okay, yep, I saw that too.
And that came out the same time Barbie did, but that was, you know.
Yeah.
But I really like history movies, and it was a very well done. I didn't know a lot of it, so that's why I really like. I mean, I remember just sitting there like, man, that was really, really good, because it just opened up to the history stuff, which then causes any movie that can make me then, because then I'm like researching stuff, I'm reading about him, and that's why I loved about it. It's just like, oh, that's. Yeah. Because I'm also one that when I watch a movie, it's like, did that really happen? Mm-hmm. So then I have to look it up.
Yeah. It made me feel really dumb because I was like, I do not know anything.
Yeah. I mean, I knew quite a bit, but there was a lot that I was like, wow, that's, you know.
I was like, I needed to brush up on my American history, apparently, before I watched this.
But yeah, that was a really, really good movie. I don't think, COVID really messed up my movie watching.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, they don't go to the movies as much anymore. And I can't even think of anything else I've watched this year.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Do you have a new, a favorite song this year or a new band that you started listening to or anything?
No.
No.
This is actually, as I'm getting older, and I don't say it's an older thing. Favorites. I don't, I don't listen to anymore when I'm in the car. The radio isn't even hardly even on. That's what's weird about it. A lot of times when I'm in the, if I'm in the car by myself, lately I created a old country playlist. So I'm listening to old 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. I'm more
that's
into
the best music. Yeah. Hello.
I mean, I don't even know hardly any of the new Christian stuff coming out because I just am not listening to it.
Yeah, I know some of the new Christian, but any of mainstream new music, I don't know.
I have no clue.
Yeah, same. And I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, me too.
Crap anyway.
It's to the point there's new artists all the time. I'll see them and I'm like, I don't even know who that person is. I have no clue.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still on the City of Light train. They're still my favorite.
Yeah.
And we got to see them live in September at the Gospel Coalition Conference, and we got to sit in on a little breakout session where they explained how they make new music and why, and just a little bit of background. None of them are paid staff at their church that they go to. They're all volunteers. They all have regular day jobs. One of the main female singers is a gym teacher. And then the process that they have to go through for songs is crazy. They have to defend why it's biblically sound, and just their whole way of doing things. It was really cool. And I have so much respect for them. And just kind of their mission for bringing biblical music to churches that don't have big bands that make it something that's singable for people and congregations, and I don't know, it's just very, very cool.
Yeah. I like them a lot. I listen, but I would agree with that. I appreciate them because there's a hymn aspect to it. And that's why I appreciate about it. Mm-hmm. I like the moving away from this the show.
Yeah. I need to send you their, I think you can watch their little breakout session.
Okay.
And I need to send that to you because you'd really like it.
So yes, I do appreciate them a lot.
I'm loving that we have incorporated some other songs into
sets. I would be fine almost if they were the majority of them. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of great Christian songs. I'm not dogging on any of the new stuff, but it's just, you know, some of the larger churches that stuff's coming out, they're very great. They're professional. I mean, but again, I also like theirs a lot because they don't repeat.
Yeah. And they, that's one thing.
That's one of the things I like about the hymn aspect to it. There's this, each verse is a different, unique truth of, instead of we're going to repeat the same thing over and over again. Yes, I do like them a lot.
So good. So good. I didn't come up with anything for this next one, but something that challenged you this year. I mean, I feel like maybe this is more your lane here because, you know, you started a new job this year.
I did. The biggest thing, I didn't really think about this either, but just sitting here now, the biggest challenge was it's been intriguing to me this whole last year how much I've had to reset my mind, my mindset towards things. I've talked about this before with other people, but, you know, serving as associate pastor for 4 or 5 years, you know, taking the step out of senior pastor mentality, having the answer, knowing what's coming next. I didn't realize how much my mindset had shifted.
Sure.
To not be used to that.
Yeah.
So there has been many times this year it's been, I don't want to say it's been hard. It's the challenge. My mind hasn't been there. So I'm still trying to get out of that. It's just really interesting. I didn't realize how much, because I think back when we planted when you start a church, I knew what I wanted. I knew how I wanted it. I knew what was happening. I knew, you know, cause that was that mindset. And then for 4 years of just being supportive, Mm-hmm. It amazes me. So that's been a big challenge for me. It's just,
yeah,
it's not a confidence thing, but in ways, I don't know what other word to call it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't say I don't have the confidence, but it's the, no, you're that role now. So yeah. Step into it again.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You don't realize how much.
I think it's been a really good transition. So
well, that's good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think people would agree with me. I'm
just going to throw that out. And if not, you answer to her.
What about a simple joy this year? Because I told David mine ahead of time. I was like, it doesn't have to be very deep. Because mine is, I got a new office chair.
Yeah,
and I love it. Hey. So we hired Natalie this year, and she got a new office chair, and I had chair envy. And I was like, why am I still sitting in this same hand-me-down chair that's way too big for me that I can't touch the ground on? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I ordered a chair, too. And I'm like, why didn't I do this sooner? And I love it. And every time I sit in it, it makes me happy.
Yeah. I jokingly said it, but it legitimately is. I kind of have two. One's a big one. One's kind of a, I'm trying to do this more. The big one is my wife has done was she's done with school.
Woo!
She has a job.
Yes.
Right. She's earning money.
Painfully employed. Right.
She's, you know, yeah. Like, you know, paychecks are coming in.
Yes. She's making it rain.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I still don't see any of it. Because she takes care of all the money stuff. But no, that's a huge, I mean, that was a long process for her.
Yeah,
I mean, that was like 6 years of starting part-time and just, so that was huge for us as a family, is just to celebrate that. And I remember when it happened, her attitude was like, I'm not going to my graduation. I'm like, bull. I'm like, I've suffered through this too. Like,
you're like, they should let me walk too.
That's kind of my thing. Like, we're going. Like, are you kidding me?
That's amazing.
But it was just exciting. It was, the joy is, again, I think she would have been fine if we wouldn't have gone. But it was just, there was a number of things. One, it was cool. I was so excited for her to be able to have that moment. Mm-hmm. But the second thing is, I was so excited for my girls to see their mom have that moment.
Yeah.
Because they're old enough that they've had a journey through this too. Mm-hmm. And they've seen the ups and the downs. They've seen the excitement and the tears. They've seen the breakdowns. Mm-hmm. They've seen. And I was excited because I hope that solidified in them, like, you know, you can do whatever. So I don't know if that's how they processed it, but I was happy for
that's
that.
That's really cool.
On a small thing, what I've been trying to do this year a lot is trying to not. When the year first started, when I, you know, first had to step in and before even I became, you know, things were very chaotic. It was just, you know.
I will agree with that.
And I had a moment where I had to stop and be like, start trying to enjoy the simple things. So I've been trying, even in the church, like small things, like not letting them slip by, but letting them be like, man, that's awesome. But a small one is like with my girls. So case in point was we got to take them to go see the Iowa Hawkeyes play basketball, the women and the men. And as we're watching the game, I had a moment where I stopped and I was sitting next to Libby and just those joys of trying to see the simple things. And I just sat there for probably about 2 minutes and just watched her because it was so cool to watch her. She was like leaning forward and like intently
getting
watching
excited.
It. Yeah. And it was another one of those moments where I just sat there just like trying, like having those joys of like, I had this moment of like, how cool is that, God? I hope, again, this is it's basketball, but I hope she's seeing strong women that are you know, that's what was going through my mind as I watched her just engulfed in it. So I'm trying to pay attention to those joys.
That's awesome.
Right? And
wow. So. Who are you?
Oh my
gosh. I love it.
I'm a deep well.
You are. Man, we just keep digging and mining and... He's rolling his eyes at me right now. Goals for this next year.
Goals.
My only, like, I was trying to think, like, at work, but I'm like, I don't know, because I don't really know, like, what next year has to bring. Hopefully it's, like, real boring. I mean, I don't know.
Real boring?
Well, maybe not boring in a sense, like, just boring in a, like, no drama.
Oh.
Like, that's kind of what I would love.
Oh.
No drama. But on a personal note, I have been, like, this year I spent a good, like, probably about 6 months working through the minor prophets. And then I started in Isaiah, and I'm planning to go through the majors. I'm taking like little breaks in there to do these other studies. Like I did that Leviticus one. I've been doing a like a verse by verse Romans one too. But I feel like those are like major like knowledge gaps for me and when it comes to the Bible. And so I'm just spending time like slowing down, reading those, reading some commentaries, just trying to get a greater understanding for those parts. Because those are just not areas that I typically like gravitate towards in the Bible. Like I really love the historical narrative books. Those are my jam. So I'm trying to stretch myself. And I tell you right now in Isaiah, I'm like halfway through Isaiah and it is stretching me because it's really hard to stick with it, but I'm going to power through.
I get that.
Yeah. So I'm hoping by the end of the year, I can get through the major prophets.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Well, David.
Goals. This is where you'll hear my shallowness. My goal, get out of bed tomorrow.
I mean, hey, that's a good goal.
I know. I mean, I don't want to. Goals are great. I'm not opposed to goals at all. I'm going to be truthful. I have no goals for next year.
Sorry, that just sounds funny.
It does. I mean, I hate to say it. Like, you're sitting here like, I'm studying this and doing this. And I'm thinking, man. I mean,
on that note,
yeah, that's all. Thanks for listening, everybody. It's been great.
It's okay. I am very goal driven.
Yeah.
And very task driven. So that's how I function.
Yeah.
So I get that not everybody's like that.
No, I'm not like that.
It's very weird.
Not like that. I mean, mine, you know, I don't have any goals for my study or nothing like that. Sure. I mean, there's stuff that, you know, like
you have goals for the church. Like, we've talked about different things. I mean, there's goals for the church. And so I think those are great.
I'm not going to put it out there for everybody because then you're on the hook. Well, then you're on the hook.
And it's top secret.
It's like, very hush hush. Just show up, see what happens. I don't. Life is not chaotic, so I don't want to make it sound chaotic.
Right.
It's just, like, right now, it's just, I'm just trying to, you know, I got teenage girls.
Yes.
And my goal is just to keep up.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's, and I don't, and again, it's not a negative. It's just the, I think my biggest goal is to not, again, it's just, before it's done, I don't want to think a year has gone by. That's my number one goal right now is just, you know, because.
Savor that time.
Yeah. It's kind of like, is life driving me or am I driving life kind of a thing? And that's. Mm-hmm. That's honestly where my mind is right now.
But that's the kind of leadership we need.
Yeah.
And so I think that's great.
So, But again, no specific goals.
Mm-hmm.
No specific goals.
Okay.
Talk to me tomorrow.
Well.
We'll see what tomorrow holds. I mean.
Oh, man. You guys are so lucky to have
Pastor I'm going
to
read the Bible.
That's going to be your favorite book.
I'm going to read the Bible and keep watching.
Keep
through
on,
shows we're watching. I'm going to finish the shows.
Oh my gosh. Well, this has been fun and interesting and enlightening on many levels. Oh my gosh. Man, you guys put up with a lot. But thanks for being here. We appreciate it. And we are just excited to keep on keeping on next year. And like I said, in our last episode, we will plan to be back kind of mid-January-ish to continue our deep dive in James. And then we'll be moving on to a new sermon series. So,
yeah, there's a goal.
Yes.
Gotta figure out what that is. There's a goal.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, we're just going to cut out here. Thanks for listening.